to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. First, I am not an expert. I'm just a person like you, living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice, and what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we were joined by Samaya Tracy Hill, who shared her MS story with us and taught us all about the AO inner voice scan. During the past month, I've continued to listen to my balancing frequency music and have recommitted to my daily self-care routines that showed up as possible opportunities for healing that I had been a little lax on this summer, especially while traveling. This past month, a handful of Flock members have also done AO inner voice scans with Samaya Tracy, and she'll be joining us at this month's Flock meeting on September 7th, this Saturday, so folks can ask her any questions about the inner voice scan experience and the related tools she uses by Solex to maximize her own health and healing that we might also consider. If you're not a Flock member but would like to be, please join us by visiting our Patreon page. This past month has also been full of hardships and challenges. While I've experienced a few rough spots on my own, I've also had a lot of people important to me going through tough times. If you're like me, this has a deep impact on my soul, and I try my best to take care of myself and have a little left over so I can give to others in their time of need. Did you know that this time of year has some predictable challenges? Even though I know this, I often tend to forget every time September rolls around. If you're interested in learning more, check out episode 65, The Psychology of September, to learn more about the vulnerability and the power potential of the season. Because I was feeling this predictable, heavier burden of difficulty in the air recently, the universe sent me precisely what I needed to remind me to look at these challenges in a different way. And that is what I'll be sharing with you today in the hopes that it may similarly inspire you. And to get us primed for that, I want to share a bit about a current event happening now that you might be interested in, one that has helped me to appreciate difficulty and think about harnessing its potential in new and different ways. To segue into today's episode content, for our gratitude portion, let's talk about the Paralympics happening now through September 8th, as it's an incredible opportunity for each of us to experience gratitude for the capabilities we do have and to experience awe for what these incredible athletes are able to accomplish. First, some important history and facts about the Paralympic Games. The Paralympic Games began in 1948 in London at a military hospital. Neurologist Sir Ludwig Guttmann, in an effort to find ways to hasten the recovery of his World War II paraplegic veteran patients, organized a series of sporting competitions to be held concurrently with the Olympic Games in London. What an awesome, patient-focused neurologist. The name Paralympic is because the prefix para in Greek means alongside, and the games exist about 2 weeks after the Olympic Games, or alongside the Olympic Games. The early Paralympic Games were solely for folks using wheelchairs. However, in 1976, the games became more inclusive of other types of disabilities. Amputations, visual impairments, etc. And now there are 10 different impairment types that are included. Impaired muscle power, impaired passive range of movement, limb deficiency, leg length difference, short stature, hypertonia, which is excess muscle tone and lack of flexibility, ataxia, which is impaired balance or coordination, athetosis, which is involuntary muscle contractions and movement, visual impairment, and intellectual impairment. Each category is further divided into more equitable subcategories, and each Paralympic sport has its own system of classification, which ensures fair competition amongst the athletes. Classification is dependent on the impact each athlete's impairment has on their abilities. Para table tennis has the most disability classifications at 11 different categories. The symbol for the Paralympic Games is three waves called agitos, which means I move in Latin. Watching the Paralympics is an educational experience in terms of abolishing ableism. While some disabilities are immediately visibly recognizable, like with MS, many Paralympic athletes also have disabilities that are not visible. By supporting the Paralympic Games and watching them with our families, we can help educate the community about ableism and specifically how not all disabilities from MS are visible. While we're here, I'll share a few more interesting facts about the Paralympics. Not all Paralympic sports are modified. For example, the hoop used in wheelchair basketball is the same height as the Olympic hoop. Athletes can only push their wheels twice while holding the ball, or it is considered traveling. Some sports, on the other hand, have very interesting modifications that change the game more significantly. For example, in wheelchair tennis, the ball may bounce twice instead of once, even if the second bounce is out of bounds. The balls used in goal ball and blind football, or American soccer, are filled with bells that make noise so players can know where they are. Players are also blindfolded to ensure equity amongst competitors. In some para-athletics, runners with visual impairments may choose to run with a guide. They must cross the finish line before their guide. Other sports use guides as well, such as the long jump, where a guide can clap their hands to let the athlete know when and in what direction to jump. It's a beautifully orchestrated display of teamwork. Lastly, I'll mention para archery, which has been a highlight for us to watch this year. If an archer is unable to shoot with a conventional bow due to the unique nature of their disability, they may use an assistive device that can reduce the bow's tension. And archers who do not have the use of their arms, such as Matt Stutzman of the U.S., may shoot using their feet. Matt Stutzman, gold medal winner this year, known on social media as the Armless Archer, uses his feet, and it is truly incredible. Watching these athletes compete is an important reminder to all of us, disabled or not, of the incredible perseverance and grit that we as humans can exhibit. I'm reminded that I have a bigger say in what I can and cannot do, and that many limitations I perceive may actually be self-imposed. So many times, a disability means we just have to find a different way because we are unable to do something the way we always have done it in the past. I'll be thinking differently about the next time I'm in a situation where I'm tempted to believe I can't. Just maybe I can. I highly recommend checking out the Paralympics between now and Sunday, September 8th. They are streaming live on Peacock, or you can view each day's highlight reel on YouTube. My partner and I are loving starting each day watching these inspiring athletes soar. With gratitude to all of this year's athletes and everyone who makes the Paralympic Games possible, you have brightened our September and reminded us to always look at what's possible. A few weeks ago, in one of my many MS Facebook groups that I follow, a brilliant member named Anna posted a provocative video link and a personal reflection regarding how it made her think of her life as someone living with MS. In this video she shared from 2002, retired English actor Sir Michael Caine, best known for his role in Batman Begins, The Dark Knight Returns, The Dark Knight Rises, and The Prestige, amongst many more, dropped some serious brilliance that we can all benefit from that he learned while rehearsing a scene for The Dark Knight Rises. I'll post the video clip visible to all on our Patreon page. It's just 2 minutes long and well worth a watch. In fact, you might pause this episode to quickly watch it right now. While rehearsing a scene, Sir Michael Caine opened the door to find a fallen chair in his way and pointed out to the producer that he couldn't get in because the chair was in his way. The director simply replied, "Well, use the difficulty." When Michael asked what the director meant by that, he said, "Well, if it's a drama, pick it up and smash it. If it's a comedy, fall over it." Sir Michael Caine said he learned a very powerful lesson that day for his life, to always use the difficulty. He believes there's never anything so bad that using the difficulty can't be applied, and that it can take a situation from where we might be tempted to throw ourselves a pity party to one where we excel in new and brilliant ways. Take, for instance, the Paralympic athletes we just discussed. We can brainstorm ways we can use the difficulty in our own lives by asking ourselves a few key questions. 1. What's good about this situation? What are the hidden gifts or potential gifts that I might not be seeing right now? 2. What is the learning opportunity in this moment? What useful lessons can I glean? How might this help me better navigate a similar situation in the future? 3. How might I use this perceived disadvantage or challenge to my advantage? What might I not be seeing when I look at this situation quickly? And what might I notice if I dig a little deeper? 4. Zooming out, how would I be thinking differently about this situation if it were happening to a good friend instead of to me? What advice might I give them? How might I support them? By zooming out, we often widen our perspective and see more options than at first glance when we are too close to the problem and too emotionally invested in the negative feelings associated with it. 5, what can I do right now to move forward? How can I turn this anguish into action? The original Facebook poster, Anna, shared with the group how her MS-related difficulties have prevented her from doing lots of things she's wanted to do over time. And yet, by using the difficulty, she has been able to focus rather on prioritizing the ways she can participate, and in really special ways. She mentioned things like being able to spend more time with her kids, being a baseball team mom, an art supply parent, her ability to volunteer when others aren't able, her ability to cook for ill neighbors or neighbors enduring difficult times to show them she cares and that they're not alone. She shared that while she can no longer work as a nurse and is now part of a one-income family, that while they are not rich in money, they are rich in her difficulty. When she chooses to look at her life in this way, it generates other ideas and beautiful possibilities for her and her family. I was moved and thanked Anna for sharing her reflection with our group and for all she's been able to do by seeing herself as a life enhancer and using the difficulty. By flipping the script and seeing the gifts that are often hard to notice at first, by using the difficulty, we can turn a very challenging situation into a more positive and even generative experience for us all. Can you think of a way that you have used your difficulty to create something good? Can you think of a situation right now where you might be able to lean in and use the difficulty in ways you hadn't previously thought of? Using the difficulty reminds me of aspects of the PQ Mental Fitness app I use, and we've talked about here before. See episode 69, Positive Intelligence, Your Opportunity to Finally Master Your Mindset, if you'd like to learn more about this powerful program. PQ first taught me to reflect on the many difficulties I have experienced in my lifetime and to see which of those difficulties has, over time, yielded unexpected gifts. It turns out there's a lot. Once I was able to see this pattern of my past, PQ has taught me to look for the gift in the current struggles I face. While I certainly would not wish MS on anyone, including myself, I cannot deny that in many ways, the difficulties I've faced because of it have in some ways been a gift. I'm doing things like helping doctors and coaches develop educational programming to help our community. I have this MS podcast, and I have become a connector for newly diagnosed folks to help them access the resources they need most. None of that would have happened if it were not for my MS diagnosis and early disability retirement. I certainly loved my job, training and coaching teachers, and yet I was burning the candle at both ends with 80-hour work weeks and never thought of or had the capacity to take care of myself with the same intensity because my focus at the time was entirely on helping others. MS has been a powerful balancing force in my life for sure, and learning to use the difficulty for good was a pivotal moment in terms of mindset that has helped me learn to live a good life with multiple sclerosis that I love. The PQ program also teaches us the importance of choosing to accept or convert when we are facing a challenge. Sometimes in the moment, we can't yet see the gift. If we actively look for the gift, we can learn over time to find the gifts faster. And sometimes, given the nature of the event, that can take a long time. And when we can't or don't want to convert the difficulty into a gift, choosing to accept it for now, both in our body and our minds, can bring us peace rather than feed our stress that can induce additional MS symptoms. The program director of PQ, Shirzad Shamim, uses fables, amongst other tools, throughout the program to teach us powerful lessons. And I'll share here the Chinese fable he teaches because of its relevancy. It's called The Stallion Story. And this story really helps me when I experience something that my conscious self immediately perceives as bad. The story goes like this, and I'll paraphrase a bit. There once was an old farmer in a small village in China. The farmer owned a stallion, his most prized possession. And one day he entered the stallion in a competition, winning first prize. All of his neighbors rushed over to congratulate the old farmer, and yet the farmer's calm response to their congratulations was, "Who knows what is good or what is bad?" The neighbors left feeling puzzled as they expected a very different response. They thought he would rejoice and celebrate his winnings. The next week, thieves broke into the farmer's stable and stole his newsworthy stallion. When the neighbors heard what happened, they rushed over to console the old farmer. They were surprised to find the farmer perfectly calm and at ease, and again he said, "Who knows what is good or what is bad?" Puzzled again, the neighbors left. The following week, the stallion escaped from the thieves and returned to the farmer, bringing back with him several beautiful wild horses. The neighbors were amazed by this unexpected twist of fate and rushed over to share in the farmer's joy. Once again, they found him very calm and unaffected by his good fortune, saying, "Who knows what is good or what is bad?" 3 days later, the farmer's only son rode one of the wild horses in his attempt to tame it. The horse threw the son to the ground, breaking his leg in the process. As you might guess, the neighbors rushed over to comfort the farmer and were quite disturbed when they found him again very calm. He quietly repeated what they had heard him say many times before, "Who knows what is good or what is bad?" How odd for this man to think it might be good that his son broke his leg. What is he thinking? A fortnight later, a war broke out in the region. The army conscripted young men to fight the war. However, the farmer's son did not qualify because of his broken leg. This time, the neighbors didn't bother to rush over to congratulate the farmer, as by then they knew what he was going to say, and they finally understood his wisdom. Who knows what is good or what is bad? Sometimes, only time can tell. As actor David Niven says, much in life is simply a matter of perspective. It's not inherently good or bad, a success or failure. It's how we choose to look at things that makes the difference. The main lesson we can take from this fable is to not prematurely attach a label of good or bad to life circumstances. We can choose how we want to view the circumstances of life. We can use the difficulty or let it limit ourselves. Sometimes, even in the course of one day's time, we encounter many different circumstances that we might be tempted to label as good or bad. By refraining judgment and choosing to accept what transpires as simply what is, we can keep ourselves from spiraling into the lower frequency emotions, which, as you likely know, once we're in them, are much more difficult to climb up from. What challenges in your life could you use the stallion story lesson to look at differently? In what ways could you use the difficulty to turn the hardship into an unexpected gift? I'm thinking a lot about this too. If this type of mindset switch sounds too difficult, I have two things to offer that might help. One is episode 81, The Unexpected Gifts of Hardship, where we actually explore compelling data and resources to help ourselves shorten our time in despair and how to harness the hidden powers of hardship to create an even brighter future. And two, if the stallion story and concept of the PQ Mental Fitness Program piques your interest, the positiveintelligence.com website offers two free diagnostic tools. One, to discover your unique saboteurs that might be holding you back. And two, to assess your PQ quotient, which is your ratio of positive to negative thoughts, and can be used as a tool to identify your current overall mental fitness fortitude. If you want to take the PQ Mental Fitness 8-week course, reach out. I have a small group starting soon, so you won't be learning alone. My hope today is that we all look for opportunities in our lives to use the difficulty. Two, that we consider watching the rest of the Paralympic Games to further inspire in us a sense of awe and a can-do approach as we face the many challenges of living with MS. And three, that we remember that the symbol of MS is the butterfly, representing metamorphosis. We can change, and sometimes we must. If we use our difficulties in our favor, they can take us to beautiful places we never imagined possible. To continue our conversation on using the difficulty and to follow up on the AO Inner Voice Scan with Samaya Tracy Hill, you are welcome to attend our next Flock meeting via Zoom this Saturday, September 7th. If you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together, supporting one another, and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time, be well.